The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up according to festival custom. After they had completed its days, as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking that he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances, but not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. The Gospel of the Lord. It's a really beautiful feast that we celebrate today, the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I have to get the, see if we have the words right for this. I don't know that we do. It's like the, in the calendar, it's after May 31st. Of course, we're somewhere beyond May 31st at this point. But, oh yeah, here it is. It's the Saturday following the second Sunday after Pentecost. Yeah, so that's where we are. This is Saturday following the second Sunday after Pentecost. Just to give you context, I mean, I hardly know what day it is, but Saturday following the second Sunday after Pentecost. Now, let's say we think of it like that, but of course, what does that mean? It means that it follows on from the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Okay, so that's the real connection. And they could write that, but it's better to have a link to the calendar instead of to that feast, which is following on, what is it, the Friday following the second Sunday after Pentecost. So anyway, it follows on, of course, from the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And I think it's very, very important for us to hold these two feasts together. I mean, the Church has done that for us by placing them together. But it's very important for us to hold them together for any number of reasons. I don't know, the things that people knew by intuition, we're now discovering by science, right? It's like the great progress of science to confirm our intuition, right? Like that there's a connection between, there are many, many connections, biological connections, emotional, spiritual connections, these kind of full human connections between mother and child, right? So there are things like, there are studies on the brain activity between mother and child kind of looking at each other and the formation of the child's brain as a result of, say, looking into the person's eyes who's carrying the child. Okay, it's the mother's eyes usually, right? So there's a deep connection, formation, and the like. We can imagine that for Mary and Jesus. We should imagine that for Mary and Jesus. And in the same way that the traces of DNA that are from the child that are found inside of the mother, right? It's like there are more profound connections than that. Like I'm saying, science is perhaps just beginning to discover what we've always known, right? So there's deep connection, and so it's right for us to hold here the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Many of you in your own personal devotions do exactly the same. Do you know when I finish my rosary, pray, "Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us. Immaculate Heart of Mary, pray for us." And the rest, right? My own personal litany of the saints. I'll give it to you some other time. So this is it. And what do we have to celebrate today? We have to celebrate a full human reality, right? We're talking about human hearts, Heart of Jesus, Heart of Mary. We're talking about the full human reality. And to think of it in this sense, we can say something like, Jesus and Mary do not exempt themselves or God does not exempt himself, nor does he exempt Mary from the full human reality. And they say, of course not. Of course not. God himself wanted to have the full human experience. He wanted, I mean, look at how far he went. It's here in this passage as well. How far did God go to have the full human reality? Well, Jesus went down with them, Mary and Joseph, came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. Now, my mother is saying, that wasn't your full human reality. Do you know? Before I see it in her eyes. Yes, well, he had a perfect human reality, okay? So he had obedience in him. No, it's me. It's not you. It's me. Yeah, so, Jesus, he wanted to have the full human. I didn't want to have the full human reality. He wanted to. So he was obedient to them. And that's quite remarkable, right? God is obedient to his human parents. It's really profound. Now, I will say that. I want to go back just a little bit because this is, now after I described to you like how the feast is situated, you realize that we don't always get the other readings to line up with it, right? So, and in fact, we took it from the readings of the day, the 10th week in Ordinary Time, Saturday, that Marie read for us before, right? The love of Christ impels us. Once we have come to the conviction that one died for all, therefore all have died. He indeed died for all. Now, what is Paul doing here? He's saying that Jesus, as the head of his people, has died, and we have all died with him. Okay? He indeed died for all. So do you know what I mean? Jesus is the head of his people. Right? Jesus is at the head of his people. He's the Messiah. He's leading the way and all the rest. But we also are his body. And he's our head. If the head dies, now I think science is catching up with this one as well, probably. If the head dies, then the whole thing is dead, right? At least for us, that's the case. So here we have, he indeed died for all. So he's gone through death. We've died with him. He indeed died for all, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So Jesus has died and was raised. We died with him. We've been raised already to new life with him. He went through death so that we, as the body, actually live already on the other side of death. But, see, here's the thing with St. Paul, and I see this a little bit in the commentaries, is that people are inclined to take St. Paul and make this kind of mechanistic. Okay, Jesus died, he raised, we're now okay, we're on the other side of death, we don't have to worry about death. And do you hear how I say it? It's just flippant, right? It's just, he did this, da-da-da, whatever. This is not what St. Paul intended. He knew it too deeply. And what I'd say is, what gives us some sense of the way this works is the feast that we celebrate today, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Because, right, Mary does not have sin. And yet, who of the body is or was more united to Jesus in his death and resurrection than Mary? So we see in her what we have to do to live, as St. Paul says we do, on the other side of death. To live no longer for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So that's the kind of moral thrust at the end is we have to, and this is Mary, this is her heart. Okay, now, in order to do this fully, in order to live out this moral imperative, no longer living for ourselves, but for Jesus, who for our sake died and was raised, in order to do this, we have to have hearts like unto his, and we have to have hearts that submit ourselves to him as he dies so that we can rise in his life that is lived totally for God and his purposes. We have to put the old man to death in order to rise with Jesus. So we have to die, right? When we say we proclaim your death, O Lord, that's what we're doing. We're saying that we die in your death. We put our sinful selves to death in your death. And we proclaim your resurrection. We profess, I can't remember the words, we profess resurrection, right? Believe it or not. Yeah, so then we rise with him to new life, live totally for God. We do that Eucharist after Eucharist. We do that representation of Jesus' sacrifice after representation of Jesus' sacrifice. But it's only effective, it's effective and it's fruitful in as much as we give our hearts to it. Mary herself was not corrupted by sin, but she lived this well. Right? She lived this well. So it's more. It's more than the mechanism. It's more than the ritual. It's a ritual that demands hearts in order to be effective, in order to be fruitful. And in that, we have Mary. In that, we have Mary as an example, yeah, as the example of what it means to be heart to heart with Jesus. And it's all about love there. Can we imagine Mary running down the checklist of things that she has to do for Jesus? She's not doing that. She's looking at Jesus and she's loving him. And the rest is taking care of itself. Of course, there's a checklist. She has to change his diaper, you know, like what? I don't know if they had diapers back. You know, they didn't have diapers back then, but you know, a little bit of cloth or something, you know. But she's loving him, serving him, and he is growing into her faith as and obedience to her as she is growing in obedience to him. And this is us, right? Cor ad cora locutor. I usually attribute it to John Henry Newman. It's his motto that he took as a cardinal, but it's actually in St. Francis de Sales. Great spiritual master, and probably a good spiritual master for us still. Cor ad cora locutor. Heart speaks to heart. But my friends, here's the thing. When heart speaks to heart, heart becomes like unto heart. So it's the same for us. It's the same for us. Why we should always be concerned also about the cultures of the places that we find ourselves in, because we're probably contributing to it. And if we're not contributing to it, we're definitely being formed by it. Heart speaks to heart. Our hearts are always speaking to our hearts. But here we want to go to the depths. And we go to the depths with Mary in her heart so that we can become Jesus in the full sense of it, not just by a mechanism, but by love.